Good morning, Patriots. What a nice morning it is. Hope you've got your coffee all warmed up or freshly made or whatever you're doing. That normal morning ritual. It's a great ritual. I'll tell you what, I have a person that just sent an amazing package of thanks. Totally unexpected. I've got all sorts of thank you notes to go out this weekend. I open it up and what's inside? Like five different bags of specialty coffee, three different bags of specialty popcorn. It's so awesome. Holy cow. That's a person that gets it. They're like, all right, dude, here we are. We're ready. Give us some popcorn and some coffee and we'll take on the world. It's like, yep, that's awesome. So if you're listening out there, you know who you are. Thank you very much. You know, we'll get some thank you notes going this weekend. Okay. You know, Patriots, I'll tell you, I've been really thinking a lot about this walk that we're in. And so what I'm going to speak this morning is not directed at anybody. It may not even be directed at this group. It's just a principle of looking at ourselves collectively. I think that's an interesting word to begin with, collectively. Because when you talk about those that follow that, I don't even like the left anymore. It's not inclusive enough, and yet it's not really correct. I mean, it's an ideology of the left, which we can, you know, the deep state ideology is really what it is. For those that follow that deep state ideology, that ideology of subordinating yourself to a tyranny. When you say collective, it means something. It means like everybody's equal. Everybody's of hive mind in the bad way. Everybody is going to be obedient to central power. Everybody's going to bow down to whatever the masters of power tell you to do. And they'll give up everything to be part of that, and they'll literally do anything to be part of that one collective power group. So I say all that because in looking across this world, we have a collection, a collective of patriots. But what distinguishes this movement is that we're sovereign. At least we're working to be sovereign, and that's where we're striving to be. And in being sovereign, it means that we're each unique as God intended us to be. We're each pursuing our gifts and talents as God wants us to, and we should be. I mean, I guess that's the point, is if we're going to walk that path, and that is the point, we have to commit to these things. It sounds very authoritative when I say that. It's like, you must. But it's not me. It's in the principles of faith and in the principles of being sovereign. Principles of being sovereign are a unique place in that you're accountable. You're accountable to yourself. You're accountable to your family. You're accountable to your neighbors. You're accountable for your actions. And your actions have consequences, good and bad. And it's a world where you're working to respect your neighbors. You're built on a different foundation. So take the two worlds, and we'll take collective as a principal term. As a collective whole, patriots versus as a collective whole, those on the deep state ideological path. When you say collective on the deep state ideological path, everybody's the same. You get up in the morning and you think about what duties you have as long as you're within the boundaries of the laws that are set before you by your collective controller, which is the deep state. When you do something, you think about when the deep state is going to fix things for you. Most notably and most pressing is this, when are you going to save me from this Rona? And what do I need to do by your instructions for me to be safe? That's a very obvious and very prescient issue right now. Okay? Then we go to the other side, which is a sovereign side, which wakes up in the day and begins his day by saying, okay, Lord, put before me what, guide me in this day. I'm going to be pursuing my gifts and talents. Guide me as we wish to be guided. But knowing that you're going to be running into things that are unique to you, when you are faced with an issue like this, Rona, you're going to be seeking clarity and truth. In fact, some in this group may choose for particular well-founded and reasoned, boy, those are big words, well-founded and reasoned ways to perhaps wear a face diaper. But it might be done because of respect for another, care for another, in the sense that, oh, I'm saying I'm sneezing a lot. But it's not going to be done for the principles of I'm afraid, and therefore, if I have one, you have to have one because you make me afraid because you don't comply. This is the principal issues in this, of unity of all things, actions you do, dictated by a central power, to walking in the place of reason and intellect and being intentful in everything that you do. Understanding that there are consequences. That same person on the side of sovereignty that decides to, say, wear a face diaper is going to a place where they know it's a transient issue. They know that they're doing it for that moment. Like, for example, you get up and you are literally like coughing like crazy. And you're just like, wow, using this as an example. I'm going to be in the public today around a lot of people. Wow, that could be a pretty ugly thing if I'm not being respectful of the fact that I'm just coughing on people. It makes people uncomfortable. Okay. It's a perception issue, and there's some scientific validity to doing that, and you choose to do it, and the next day you feel good, and guess what? Whoops, it goes. You don't carry it anymore. You don't wear it anymore. Not as on the other side, where there are things like, I can't imagine living without it. Now, I'm not getting into my face diaper rants, which I've had more than a handful of this last year. This is all about the principles of making some hard choices and deciding the path that we're on. We are at a place right now where too many out here will claim faith and then deviate and comply with these ridiculous rules of tyranny and somehow find this duplicity okay. So let me read a passage to you. It's Deuteronomy 9, 13 to 17. I think my point will start to come clear. And so it reads, furthermore, the Lord said to me, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stubborn people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under the heaven, and I will make you a nation mightier and greater than they. So I turned and I came down from the mountain, and the mountain was burning with fire. And the two tablets of the covenant were in my two hands. And I walked and I looked, and behold, you had sinned against the Lord your God. You had made yourselves a golden calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way that the Lord had commanded you. So I took hold of the two tablets and threw them out of my two hands and broke them before your eyes. It's got a lot of pieces in that story to unpack. The amazing part about after leaving, and of course this is about Moses, for those who aren't following. And the amazing part about all of this is that after leaving Egypt and being shown over the years many miracles, plagues, that were enough to break the will of the controllers, those who held the slaves, ultimately released the slaves. A very important principle in Exodus that is, I think, too often missed. It wasn't the slaves that got up and packed their stuff and left. They only left because the slave owners said, get out. So they take the gold, they take the silver, they load up their kneading bowls, boom, off they go. And in this process, there's incredible witness to other miracles, like little things like parting of the Red Sea. Yeah, just a little one. And you walk across the Red Sea. And then you wander into the desert. And all of this ultimately is about trusting in God. And everything is provided every time. But it's never enough. And so we arrive at this place at the base of Mount Sinai. Moses goes up, spends 40 days. The tablets are presented to him as a way of the commandments to lead the new nation. And come back, and I'm going to add in some verbiage because I want you to kind of contextualize this to today. Moses looks, they've got the calf, and this is my dialogue to kind of the way I'm telling the story. It's like, what are y'all doing? And it's like, well, you were gone for a little while. Yeah. What about your faith in God? Well, I tell you what, you were a little bit delayed in coming, so it didn't go the way we expected, and we got a little bit afraid. So we decided it was a good idea to maybe go back to the way we used to do things and make a golden calf. And in the process, we decided we'd start sacrificing our first child again for good luck. And you could imagine the rage in this. And this is literally what ends up happening. The tablets get crushed right before them. Now, God's not happy with Moses, and he's definitely not happy with our golden calf worshipers. But the problem we have is, the bigger problem is this whole place where people are rationalizing, stepping away from God because one person or one event didn't go the way they anticipated, and they gave up. Now, in this dramatic moment of breaking the tablets, and I'm kind of lightly glossing over the next part of the story, meaning that ultimately the people come back to God. But my problem is the sincerity of that coming back. And it's the sincerity of where they were to begin with. I'm not judging whether they did or didn't. I think the dramatic moment of breaking the tablets is probably enough to shake a lot of people. And God definitely was like, whoa, dude. That's not what I expected you to do. But the deal is that Moses makes an action, and he knows it's not going to be a good one. He's accountable to that. And that's a big piece right there. He decides that action based on accountability. But somehow, his followers missed that little lesson of accountability. Kind of like, well, yeah, you were late. So we just gave up on God. Like, God's no big deal. I'm weaving this story around to reflect very closely on what is our true commitment in this path with God. And this story to me always comes up again and again in my own thoughts and reflections, is what a dramatic moment it is that Moses actually gives up his right to enter the promised land in that moment, but he does such a dramatic thing that is the only thing that could possibly shake the rest of the world, or the rest of his followers, to wake up to the fact that this is an abominable act. And in that abominable act, you've defiled and turned your back on God, and you went back to this old way, which is exactly what he just spent years trying to get the Pharaoh to let go on. And in the process was successful, because with his actions in God, he literally ended up with the slave owners releasing the slaves. And all of this comes back to that moment. Because they didn't earn the pathway out for themselves. They were given it, which is just like the welfare world they were in. Slaves, by the way, is a welfare type relationship, a bad one, where everything is provided for them, everything they do is forced or told to do them, and they willfully accept it. And they are the ones, it is the slave owners that tell them to go. So they aren't embracing their own freedom. So it's easy when they get to this point to say, well, that was a cool thing we tried, but yeah, it didn't work. Now let's look at modern day. Great comment yesterday. I was really hoping that the details of this, of various issues around the Rona and the pinprick, would have been released for more people to wake up. Okay, but it's there. These are decisions that people are making. They're conscious decisions. And the choice about how you're going to be, quote, protected centers on what's your relationship with God. We have a president who obviously kind of got the whole thing stolen on November 3rd, but and fought the noble way and then says, I'll be back, and steps off the play field. And how many people bail? I mean, literally, like, it's like watching the Titanic. Only problem is this Titanic isn't sinking, but everyone's pretending it is, and they're jumping off onto boats. It's the same thing as building the golden calf. It's fair weather. It's literally fair weather faith. I don't know what that moment of the tablets is going to be to wake up those that are wandering out here, giving up, giving themselves to a false god, giving themselves to these fears that are manufactured. I guess the question that we would have to ask ourselves is, if put in the moment like Moses, and though one could argue that he was emotionally driven, I argue that he was inspired in the moment. If you had to break the tablets to wake up and save a whole bunch of people, sacrificing your right to enter the promised land, would you? I've thought about this a lot. It's a big question. And I have to say that I would. I would, because this walk is not about me. This walk is about God's people that we're all tied to come together and to walk together. And in that sense, in the true sense, I am nothing. I am part of God. It also shows, I think it's a powerful thing to reflect in ourselves when we get there, of what our true faith is. If our faith is based on any sort of vanity, how I'm perceived, how I walk, what I dress like, if I've gained 5 pounds, lost 10 pounds, if my shirt doesn't fit quite right today, I don't like the color of my shoes, my car is an older car, I'm embarrassed to drive around. Boy, the list just goes on. And every one of us carries that, by the way. It is the challenge for each of us to work through those points of vanity, those points of ego. To me, that's partly ego, in the sense of how Freud spoke of it. We have to strip ourselves of that in this walk and put before us the true and honest reason that is before us. This walk, patriots, is a walk with God. It's a walk truly in the love of spirit and that line of truth. When we commit to that path, it demands many, many things of us. And it demands a type of walk of a personal sacrifice that each one of us will be asked to make. It's not a punishment. It's a walk of truly being set free. Sovereignty is one of those things that will require that we each press into this walk and trust in God in a way we have never imagined. And the farther we work into this, it seems like we get past a certain point, and if you really are honest, you start to see that, holy cow, that was a lot. It's going to be a lot farther out than I realized to get to that point. But it's a path and a walk that's worth it. It's literally climbing that mountain. You get to the first ridge, and you look up thinking you just got to the top, and you're like, holy cow, I've got another 3 days ahead of me. power of where we walk with God is our obedience to that true walk of trusting in Him. Even when the storms change a bit, even when things don't happen the way we expect them to. And so we're kind of running two narratives this morning. We're running one, which is the giving up, which is easy for us all to do at one point or another, to throw up our arms and hands and to say, I'm done, I can't handle this. But it's not that dramatic, it's worse, it's subtle. And it gets to the subtle places where it's more like this. It's like, oh, well, today I'll just let that go. I'm going to let that, yeah, I know that guy's lying, whatever, I'll let it go. Oh, you know what, I shortchanged that person of a couple bucks. That's too bad, I'll make it up the next time. When we start to cut the little corners on the little things, we suddenly become those that are building the golden calf. We're giving ourselves these little justifications and excuses to go back to the way we were. And this is the big point here, is we are leaving. We have left. We are in the walk of freedom right now. We have left the matrix. We have left the darkness of Egypt. And we're on this walk. We can be those that complained and whined and moaned after seeing all these amazing things happen, throw up our arms because the things didn't work quite the same way. Oh, they're saying again, they're going to lock us down. And I'm just so tired of it. I'm just going to go along with it. Oh, it's no big deal. We're just going to have a little meeting over here. And yeah, I know. We're all going to have to comply with their rules to get here. And we're going to have to go through some tests to get into there, and we're going to have to wear a face diaper in between, but it's okay because we're going to talk about good things. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. At all. Because it's not okay to start compromising that line of truth. You cannot compromise with God. I mean, this comes down to the bottom line. And then we have this other side, which we then look across at all of these, this herd out here that is willfully every day, and you see them broken down. And they are. They're getting broken down. They're getting used to this torture. And every day that they walk in that path of torture, it's like feeding a beast. Literally. And I sometimes swear that the fear and the anguish that we give out, they literally feed on. There's a theory on that anyway, but I truly believe that. And we're sitting on the outside and we hear this, things like, again, not a criticism, but hear this in context. Lord, when is this going to end? When is the pain going to end? I don't know. How about when somebody breaks the doggone tablet and wakes everybody up? And that's where I'm kind of getting at, is that we have to start being in that place to be bold. And I don't know what that looks like, Patriots. Okay, so that's a God-guided issue. And I'm not sitting here saying, well, today we're going to go out and I don't know. But what I am saying is that we have to amplify God's message into the world so people can start to see it. And if that means that action, even though it is to wake people up, maybe God says, you know what? I'm sorry, that was a big violation. And we're like, okay. But I'll tell you what, in the end, there's forgiveness. As long as we're not being against the laws of God. Because part of our walk sometimes is to be that dramatic moment of Moses. And on the other hand, our walk is definitely not to revolt and go back to building the golden calf. We are the remnant. It's not a fictitious concept. It's not some sort of crazy notional idea to prop up a few people that come to a site here to listen every morning. No, Patriots, if you're called and you're walking with God in this moment in time with eyes open and ears to hear, eyes to see, and the breath of God speaking through you, you are part of the remnant. Just look around. It doesn't make us greater. It makes us more responsible for the many to help many wake up. That's the one of the key things here. And it also means that the onus and the burden, the requirements upon us are greater because we cannot deviate from that path of truth. And it does not mean that we can somehow justify the ridiculous little moments that we often all face and decide that, well, today it's okay to build a golden calf and that's cool. No, it's not ever. And it's equally not okay to walk along and just go, well, whatever. There's a whole bunch of crazies out here and there. They deserve to get what they get when they comply with those rules. No, we have to find a way to try to break the tablet so they can see. And believe me, I'm not looking for a reason to piss off God. Like, you did what? Like, whoa, I'm sorry. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about trying to be like in this moment and like, we've got to find those moments. You can imagine when they saw that. You could have seen, you probably can imagine like the moment of, what did he just do? What he just did is he shook the world when those tablets got cracked. And people are like, oh man, you could almost see the whole crowd going, they're looking at each other going, wow, oh wow, this is not going to be a good moment. This is kind of bad. It's, and you know, you can see the shuffling of feet. The eyes are down. They're kind of fidgeting. They're looking at each other and trying to look side to side. Yeah, no kidding, right? So be bold. Make that stand up to this tyranny. Do so with the light of God and the word of God running through you. Be bold and be true. And don't allow yourself to become pulled into those places. Even if they're tiny little ones, don't build a golden calf. We aren't perfect. We're going to make mistakes. All of that's real. Got it. Check. But that's not an excuse, and that's not a cop-out. That's a statement of we better work harder. And within that, God guide me. And within that, God forgive me. And most importantly, the path of truth is unwavering. And when we're there, we bring the power of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit into this world as a guide on for everyone to see, a true beacon of light that they witness. And as they do, they truly see clearly, many will truly see clearly in the ways of the wandering and the weak and the foolish hearted. I'm sorry for those that truly have moved to a way where they believe that this is silliness, that speaking of God in the faith and in each day and bringing in the power of the Holy Spirit they see as some sort of ancient craziness. I really do pity them. And I'll pray for them. This is neither. It's none of the above. This is a time of a true war between good and evil that dates back to the beginning. We're in the middle of it. We're walking it. And we're making decisions that will define the future of humanity. As a remnant, if we don't stand with God and stand boldly and walk that path as one should, like an apostle of Christ, if we do not walk that with that strength, it isn't about us. It's about all of humanity. And if you aren't willing to stand boldly in this time and take those risks, I would argue that we're not we're not committing to the strength that God's providing, nor the true path that is demanded of us as children of God. Be strong. Press in. Be bold. And know that God is with you in every step. Be respectful. Be compassionate. Walk with grace, but walk with all of those things with such courage and boldness that you literally shake the world. And when we do that as the remnant, mountains will move. And it won't take much time. We will shake the foundations of the earth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this morning, in this quiet morning, when we reflect on the beauty and the grace that you've given us in all things, let us also pray for the strength and boldness that rests within our soul. Let us be strong in your name. Let us be bold in your name. Let us put ourselves forward with courage, with that righteousness that lights the flame within us, to awaken the many that still walk asleep, to help the many who have built their little golden calves to strip away from that pagan concept, that blasphemy, and to step into this world and fully embrace the power of light, this walk of sovereignty, and the true love of you, walking in the body of Christ. Let us not waver. Let us bring your light and your love into this world, but in a way that wakes and shakes. Let us be compassionate in the quiet moments, but let us be bold like the thunder when we witness those that willfully walk away from you, and even those who will walk away from you but still proclaim your name. Let us guide them from the darkness to put them on the path. Give us that strength and guidance in your name. Let us bring the rain. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Patriots, I hope you have a very blessed day. Let us each be bold. Let us each walk with the love of Christ and the love for each other, but do so boldly. Respect and grace, but we can't accept the golden calf. This is a moment of choice for humanity, many of which are choosing this other path because of the many deceptions and lies that unfortunately they've accepted and it's to a certain degree they've worshipped. We have to reset and at least attempt to others see that God is here, an all-loving, all-forgiving God. But at some point or another, there is a time of accountability. And for me, that a time for accountability is now. Head up, eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Press into this fight. Pray for the power of love to walk in everything you do, the true force of agape in your life. Pray a lot. Our nation needs healing. Above all, know that God is with each and every one of you. He'll never forsake us. He'll never forsake you. And in the end, God wins. God bless. And out for now.
Sparks and embers fly wherever we were going. taste of Eden, running with the wolves to freedom. If you listen, hear the whispers, what the night knows. There's a revolution rising in the shadows.